excuses. Praise the Lord. Right, we'll have a word of prayer and we'll commence our service. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are your child. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful blessings we know that come, Lord. And no one said the moment we get saved, life would be easy. But Lord, we know the trials and the heartaches we go through. We know that we've been saved from the pits of hell, from the grasp of the devil. And Lord, but we still go through this world with all its sin around us, all the pitfalls and temptations it puts in our way. And we thank you that you go with us and that you uphold us and keep us. And we praise you for that. And as we come to your word today, we ask, Lord, that we would put away all the cares and thoughts we may have and allow your Holy Spirit to minister your grace, your mercy, and your truth to our lives this morning. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd encourage you to stay this afternoon's message. We're looking at Elijah asked a question, how long will you halt between two opinions? And we're going to be looking at taking a stand. So we might need to put the seatbelts on for the afternoon message, amen, and belt ourselves in. Just a few things, people, phone calls I've had and the from other areas of Christianity this week, and yeah, the mind boggles, I tell you. But praise the Lord, his word is rich and true to us. So we'll be looking at that this afternoon after our morning tea. But this morning, we're going to be looking at the cure for disease. The greatest disease anyone has is a disease of unbelief and sin, not being made right with the Lord. And we've had a couple of messages out of Mark in the afternoon. We looked at that at death, you know, people will naturally die if the Lord don't come before that their time. There'll be a natural death, but there's also a spiritual death. People walk in spiritual darkness, and then there's an eternal death. And we looked at Jesus' victory over those. And I think the last time we looked at the Lord's victory over the demonic at work in this world. And today we're looking at the cure for disease. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, I'd like to read that passage together, all of us again. So Mark chapter 1, verse 40. But I think we'll just read verses 40 to 43. So if we just read that together. So if you're already there, thus saith the Lord. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. You know, through the Gospel of Mark, I've just been doing a bit of study through there, and what I've seen is that the Lord Jesus Christ kept running headlong in collision with the devil and his army. But Jesus, if you notice through the whole scriptures, he was always victorious. I didn't see him lose any battles. Always victorious. I never see Jesus losing any fight at all. You may say, well, hang on a minute. He was arrested. He was tried. He was found guilty. He was crucified all by man. How do you call that a victory? Well, listen carefully. He rose from the dead. He lives forevermore. He defeated not only the devil, not only the hordes of demon, he defeated death itself. Hebrews 2, 9 and 10 tell us, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That doesn't sound like a defeat to me, amen? Not at all. Not only has he defeated death and demons, he also defeated the disease, especially the disease of sin. Now, the gospel of Jesus is the power of God unto everyone that believeth. And as we look at the scriptures for on the cleansing of this leper, our prayer should be that we see whatever need that we may have, we may come to Jesus for cleansing. And we see in this scripture that Jesus met with a leper. This man would have been an outcast. Anyone identified as a leper was reduced to the most pitiful of state of existence known. Not only did the leper have to deal with the physical wasting of the disease, but he also had the cultural effects of his impurities. And if he was a Jew especially, it was a terrible place to be. Leviticus 13, 45 and 46 explain it some way to us. And it says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. And all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be." What a state to be in, but just complete and utter rejection. Rejected completely from society. You know, and leprosy brought with it both a deep physical and mental anguish for both the afflicted leper and for the community in which he lived in or nearby. Now, leprosy was an internal, well, it is an internal blood disease. And at the start, you know, it's not too easily recognized. It comes on slowly. And life is slowly eaten away. And finally, the leper goes to the place where that's assigned to lepers, and until they go on to the place of eternity. Leprosy is a picture to us of inbred sin. It is sin that separates one from holy God, and because the wages of sin is death, because that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then all are separated from God and dead in trespasses and sin, and all by nature in the natural life are afflicted by the leprosy of sin. There are some in whom this disease is hard to see. There are others in whom it is easily seen. But before God, all have sinned. All have the disease of sin, and all need to come to the fountain of cleansing. They need to come to the great physician and give themselves to him and allow him to save them. And we see here, we have a man who's under a terrible curse. A curse of this disease, and he comes to Jesus. One, this man who dwelt alone, begging. This man, he couldn't live like other men. He couldn't work with men together. He couldn't eat with people together. He couldn't converse with other people. The disease of despair afflicted this man. None could help him. None could help him until, verse 40, Jesus is there, and a leper came to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." You see, there was nothing good in this man's life at all. Nothing. Until Jesus came his way. Until Jesus came his way. This is why we love to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why when we get saved, we love to serve the Savior. We love to witness for the Savior. See, this is that there is no lasting help, there is no lasting cure for complete healing until Jesus comes your way. If you're here today and outside of Christ, well then sinner friend, just as the leper of old was healed, so you can be healed of your sin of unbelief. You can be cleansed, you can be made a new creation in Christ Jesus. And this passage of Scripture, it's a simple passage, is filled with great and deep spiritual meaning. Now, on saying that, there may be some here today who have been saved, but there's still some sin that rules where obedience should reign. There are many believers who live like that they should still have the gates closed on their lives. They govern their lives, or their lives are governed, I should say, on what it costs them to be a Christian, rather on what it costs God to save them. They may think they've laid all on the altar of sacrifice, but the Holy Spirit is yet to have control of their hearts. They desire their Christian life to be one of convenience, and anything inconvenient, they just won't do. Now, isn't that the truth? That's a quiet one, amen. That's just the truth. See, their Christian life doesn't affect others the way it should. The trouble is, it still affects people, but not to the honour and glory of God. And our study Wednesday night on Abraham's life of faith and obedience, we looked at the lives that he affected. It was Abraham's effect on God that made God get Lot out of a city that was going to be destroyed. What effect is our Christian life having on those around us? Is it bringing them to Christ, encouraging them in their Christian walk, or is it putting them off? We're living a life of Christian convenience instead of being inconvenienced for the glory of God. We don't want to know about it. Praise God that this unwanted outcast came to Jesus. And notice, he didn't come to some religious group. He didn't come to any worldly organization. He didn't go off to the Galilee Wellness Center to try and find some help. He came to Jesus, the one and only person in heaven and on earth that could bring him the healing that he really needed, his spiritual healing. The physical healing he got was just a bonus to the truth that his soul was saved forever. That one and only is God's only begotten Son. And there came a leper to him, it says in verse 40. Notice that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. Now I want you to listen carefully, because I don't want you to misunderstand me what I'm saying, because faith without works is dead. Before this event of the leper coming to Jesus, if we go back a few verses to verse 28, and Jesus there, he's just displayed his power over the demonic, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. What we see, this leper would have received word of what was happening. All that region, the word is out, Jesus is healing people. In verse 34, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. What we see, this leper, see, he would have received word of others being healed of many different diseases, devils cast out. And verse 37 says to us, disciples, when they found him, they said unto him, what? All men seek thee. All men seek thee. And this leper's faith led him to take definite action, and there came a leper to him. Faith without works is dead. What good is it for anyone to preach faith in Christ, that Christ saves, unless that faith leads to action and you personally experience salvation? You see, this leper knew within himself that his case was absolutely hopeless, that he was looked upon as one already dead. He was way beyond any human help. He knew that. Listen, turn to Luke chapter 5 for me. So I want you to get a picture of this leper. Luke chapter 5, 12. Keep your finger in Mark. Yeah, Brother Peter's still got his finger there. He's doing a good job. Amen. Here's a picture of this leper. This might put a bit more perspective on it for us. Verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. You go, well, what's the difference? This man, full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. This man is at the end of his life. He hasn't got long to live. Full of leprosy. The disease has just about devoured this man. This man's skin would have been just about dripping. This man's joints would have been rotting. This man would have lost fingers. This man would have had his teeth fallen out, tufts of hair dropping out of his head. This man, full of leprosy. Very soon, this leper was about to die. But listen, he heard about Jesus. He believed in Jesus. And what did faith do? Faith produced works. He came to Jesus. Have you come to Jesus? Have you been cured of the leprosy of unbelief, of sin? Have you been saved through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you still dead in trespasses and sin? You must come to Jesus. There may be some here today hearing this, saying to themselves, well, man, if this is the case, I can never be saved. I'm a terrible sinner. You don't know the sin that's involved in my life. No, I don't. Praise the Lord, God does. And regardless of the sin in one's life, regardless of the sin in your life, He wants to save you today. Taking Holy Communion won't save you. Being a church member won't save you. Only coming under the blood of Christ will save you. But I'm too far gone. Well, look at this leper, full of leprosy. In the physical or natural sense of life, he's finished. But he came to Jesus and he was cleansed. Luke 4:16, beautiful passage of scripture. Here is the hope of the world. This is talking about the Lord. You know, the Jewish men used to have an appointed time where they would read the Torah in the synagogues. And it was appointed unto them. They were members of their synagogue. And we read here, and he, that's Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Here's his town. Here's his synagogue. Here's his church so to speak. And as his custom was, this is what they did. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Here's his place in this church. It's his turn to read. And what do? There's delivered unto him. He's given the book of Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place wherein it was written. Here's the scripture he had to read that day. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Was that an accident? No, that was God's planned appointment for him. If you're here today, it's God's planned appointment for you to come under the gospel if you're lost and be saved. If you're here today and already saved, it's God's planned appointment for you. What are you doing with your Christian life? What are you doing with your witness and testimony? Is it a bit inconvenient to stay back for an afternoon service? A bit inconvenient to get to a prayer meeting? A bit inconvenient to get your kids to a kids club, to put them under the gospel? Oh, you don't know how busy I am. Well, I know how busy Jesus must have been. And he's a man just like us. He got tired, he got worn out, but he didn't stop being a testimony to God's grace and love. See, if you hear and you think there's no hope, there is hope if you do just what this leper did, come to Jesus. If you feel you may be too hardened in your sin to so see it in your conscience, I call out to you today, come now. Come today, come to Jesus. Come to him for cleansing. Come to him for mercy. Come to him for forgiveness. And God promises in John 6:37, he says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come now, don't delay. Every individual who exercises faith in Jesus Christ and accepts his offer of salvation by faith will be saved. The word cometh is a lovely word because it denotes the act of actually approaching. It's not an accident. It's approaching. It means to approach. It marks the voluntary decision of a person who is approaching. The person is not forced to come. And listen carefully, the person's not even compelled to come to Jesus. Jesus simply invites, come unto me, and I will in no wise cast you out. Brothers and sisters, won't you come today? Won't you come today? There's no time to lose. You may well die in your sins, and if you do, you will be a lost soul for eternity unless you come to Jesus now. Listen, no one would dare take this leper to Jesus. He was too foul to touch. He was too rank to take hold of and lead. Too far gone for hope. But he did come, and he came beseeching him, verse 40 tells us. Beseeching him and kneeling down to him, saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And that word beseeching is imploring somebody, coming earnestly with a desire. He's inviting Jesus, seeking Jesus with his whole heart. Is that true of you and me today? Do we really seek him with our whole hearts? What about you? Listen, God has good news for you and me today. Hebrews 11:6 says he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, the reward of your faith is that God is pleased with you. Don't let the devil distract you from living a life for Christ. Don't let the devil distract you from coming to Christ for salvation. I was reading a true story. A Soviet leader, Nikita Khrushchev, he was telling of a time in Russia where the whole country was under a wave of petty theft. The whole of the Soviet Union, everywhere, people were just stealing and pilfering stuff. And to curtail all this thieving, they put up guards around all the factories. And at one of the timber works in the city of Leningrad, there was a guard there, and he knew the workers very, very well. And the first evening of this order to guard and stop people stealing, a friend of his come out, or a man he knew very well, his name was Pyotr Petrovich, and he had a wheelbarrow with him, and on top of the wheelbarrow is this giant big sack, and it was sort of all, not just a clean sack like a sack of flour, it was just all a bit pushed in here and there. It had looked like it had a suspicious object on the inside of it. And the guard said, "All right, Petrovich, what have you got in there? I know you, there's something in there." Petrovich replied, he says, "Look," he said, "winter's coming, you know what it's like. That's just a big sack of wood shavings and sawdust that I can put around in the garden." "Come on," the guard said. He said, "I know you. I wasn't born yesterday. Tip the sack out." And nothing come out but sawdust and wood shavings. So the guard said, "Okay then, put it back on and away you go." And every night for a couple of weeks, this man come out with a wheelbarrow full of sack of shavings and sawdust. And the guard, his curiosity overcame his frustration, and he said, "Petrovich, I know you. Tell me what you're smuggling out of here, and I'll let you go. There'll be no charges. You can go free." He said, "Well, my friend, I'm smuggling wheelbarrows." Wheelbarrows. That's how easily the devil will distract you. It'll seem fine. It'll seem right. You won't have an idea. But don't let the devil distract you. Like the leper, come beseeching the Lord. If you come with an open heart pleading to God, God will blot out the transgressions. He'll forgive your sin as far as the east is from the west. He'll never remember your sins anymore. Look at the humility of this leper. He came to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him. What would kneeling imply? That's humility. "Lord, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. There is nothing I have done that I can commend myself to you. I am without doubt completely undone. I'm an outcast of the worst kind. I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. Lord, I'm hideous." But look at the leper's plea. "Make me clean. If thou wilt, thou can make me clean. If that be the prayer of everyone's heart, make me clean, that's what we should be praying. Not my wife's heart, not my husband's heart, not my children's heart or my friends or my relatives, make me clean." There's a worldly saying out there, and it's a terrible one. I've heard parents say it to their children, "Don't do as I do as I say." There's nothing good about that. Nothing good about that at all. You lead them to the Lord. You teach them to do what the Lord says. Don't let the devil distract you. Make me clean. It's got to be personal. And here in the scriptures, this plea comes from an honest heart, a reject of society, full of the physical disease of leprosy, almost dead and hopeless from the natural point of view. He's down on his knees. He's imploring the Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He believed the Lord could do what everyone was saying the Lord was doing. That's what he heard, and he believed it. And Jesus, it says, moved with compassion. He's a leper, a foul, festering soul, so overwhelmed with his plight, reached out to Jesus, and Jesus was moved with compassion. From the very depths of his innermost being, from the very depths of his bowel, the deepest place of his heart, Jesus felt pity for this man. And this just wasn't a thought. Jesus didn't just feel sorry for him. This was an active sympathy, a compassion that expressed itself in works and deeds. Too often we see people hard up, struggling, and we feel for them. When was the last time we went out of our way for them and did something for them? See, this was a tenderness, an outpouring of the Lord's heart. And isn't it amazing? Jesus is always taking the condition of the afflicted one's heart to his heart. Do you know that this was a time that where people were living in the midst of people who were placing all the emphasis on the tiniest little legality of the law. That's what they did. Especially those who were in leadership. Man, that guy's got two different shoes on. He can't come in. And I say that because I did that one day at church. And someone pointed it out to me. I had a pair of shoes on like this, and the other one I'd done the lace up on. So who knows what. And I was there at the pulpit preaching. Under the law, I'd be cast out. Under grace, God just says, get another pair of shoes, Dennis. But this is the way this is where this man lived. The tiniest little thing. And Jesus, you know, he stands out as the one whose main concern, Matthew 23:23, so it's an easy one to remember, was the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done. Brothers and sisters, your sorrows are his sorrows. Your burdens are his burdens. He desires to help you. Will you come? This wasn't any earthly pope or archbishop. This was Jesus, name above all names. God's only begotten Son, moved with compassion. You know, that's a divine characteristic of love for the unlovely. An agape love, no conditions. You want the right type of love and family in Christ, well, then you show unconditional love to your wife. Show unconditional love to your husband and your children, and you're well on your way to having your home blessed. What does Jesus, he puts forth his hand. Isn't that amazing? The sinless Son of God reaches out and touches a sinful man. Not just a sinful man, but a man dripping away, rotting away. You see, Jesus is the great mediator who fills the gap between a spotless God touching a spot-covered man, the vile, the sinful, the lowest of humanity. Makes us think of 1 Peter 1:12. Can you imagine at this moment as Jesus is reaching down to touch this man? Can you imagine what was going on in glory? 1 Peter 1:12 explains it to us, but I heard one pastor say, he said, if I know anything about the Bible, when Jesus reached out his hand, the angels in heaven stopped their singing and worship and were looking intensely down upon the Judean hills, watching God's Son touching the lowest of humanity. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Isn't that amazing? The Son of God said, I will. I will. I will, says the Lord. Not I won't. As many a man might have said to this person, I'm not helping you, look at you. There are many who turn away from those in need. They come up with all the sorts of so-called biblical reasons to pull back their hand from helping others. And if you go through the Word of God from the very beginning in Genesis, you will not find one soul, not one, through the whole of Scriptures, one who earnestly, genuinely came seeking God, who God said, I will not do. Not one. Not one soul who has ever come to Jesus seeking him with a heartfelt need has Jesus ever said, I will not. The message is from Jesus is, I will, be thou clean. Now we come to verse 42, and I ask you to look at that verse, because here we have the gospel in all its simplicity. It doesn't get any simpler than this. Here is the gospel. And as soon as he had spoken that he is Jesus, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. There's the gospel. The very moment Jesus said, be thou clean, this leper was clean. He was whole. He was saved from death. No longer dead in trespasses and sin. No longer facing an eternity in hell, but set free to an eternity of life in Christ. And listen, not on my words or not on the words of any men, but on the authority of God's word, if you will come right now in faith, believing, calling out to God, God, just like the publican, be merciful to me, a sinner, save me for Christ's sake. In faith, believing, make me clean. You will hear those words from God instantly, I will. Be thou clean. Not if you do this or do that. but instantly I will be thou clean. You'll be cleansed just like this leper. No name given us here, but recorded in God's word for eternity, for all to read, you will be clean. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Straight away. Doesn't say you're perfect. It just says new. It's just new. I used to believe I was born to die. I got saved, and man, I was born to live. Amen. What a difference. I lived every moment for the moment. And then I realized once I got saved, man, I'm living for the eternity. That's what I'm living for. Not for today. I don't need to store up treasures for today. Look, I'm not saying you just throw it all away and be stupid. But if you want to read some of the testimonies or listen to some of the testimonies like C.S. Studd, who inherited, was it £25 million? And he says, no, I'm giving it all away. I'm going to go and help poor people in China. How many of us would give away $25 million and then go and help some poor people and be poor ourselves? No, we've got to build bigger homes. We've got to build better homes. We've got to have bigger garages to put more cars in. What happens if God requires your soul tonight? What are you going to say to him when you get there? Thank you for saving me, Lord, but you know, I just wanted to finish that mansion on earth off first. Look, come now. Isaiah 1:18 tells us, now, come now, look at this. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. The Lord wants you to sit with him. He wants you to be with him. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you're here and lost today, won't you come today? Won't you come and be made clean? Jesus' hand is reaching out to you. Are you going to pull away or are you going to let him touch you? Just come as you are. All the spots, all the filth. Let the leprosy of sin be cleansed from your soul today. Only Jesus can do it. Now, for the saved here today, is there some cleansing needed? I'm not talking about salvation. If you're saved, you're saved for eternity. That's not what I'm talking about. But are there some spots you're not allowing the Lord to wash away? You won't let him clean them up. You're still enjoying them. You've set a limit and you won't go beyond that boundary. You've drawn a line in the sand and you won't cross it. That costs too much to go any further. So I'm not going to step over the line. I'm not going to put myself out to be an encouragement to others. I've got a limit when it comes to worshiping and serving the Lord. Is there a touch of the Lord needed for a full and complete surrender? Are you prepared to say, Lord, I'll read you here, one, David Livingston. Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. And sever every tie, but the tie that binds me to thy service and thy heart. Is that our prayer today? Or Andrew Murray, if there's anything holding you back, or any sacrifice you are afraid of making, come to God and prove how gracious your God is. never be afraid that he will command from you what he will not provide. God comes and offers to work his absolute surrender in you. Are we ready for Jesus to touch us in such a way we say, Lord, my life is no longer mine, it's yours. I just want to serve you to the day you take me home. You know, I'm thankful for a wife who's excited about when the Lord says to us, come on, Dennis and Deborah, get up and go. She's excited about seeing what God's going to do next. She don't have to know beforehand. She just gets excited. She wants, what's God going to do now for us? Take us to a hot, steamy climate we don't like. No, just excited to see what he's going to do. And yet how many Christians have got the spot of complaining on their soul? The spot of criticizing their brothers and sisters on their heart? See, they're just not surrendered. What's holding you back? Come, says the Lord, come, and thou shalt be clean. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, that's a very, very simple piece of scripture. But how deep it is, Lord. So simple, we just read over it. We see a leper coming to you, and then we turn some pages, and we see he's not just a leper, he's a man full of leprosy, ready to die. But he didn't let the opportunity pass. We pray for those here today whose heart has been touched by the Holy Spirit, that they do not pass the opportunity to be saved. We pray for those of us who are saved, Lord, and you've revealed a spot or two that we need to deal with. May we allow you to touch us in that area also. But Lord, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise that the God of heaven would come down to earth to save a sinner just like me. And we thank you for that, Lord. I thank you from the bottom of my heart that the leprosy that was taking my life away has been cleansed, made whole, saved for eternity. Lord, I just don't have words to express the thanks. All I can say is thank you. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.